This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. The verdict for an ex-Atlanta mayor and the United States preparing for the bird flu. Joining us to discuss these topics and more from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Roland Martin joins us via phone from Chicago, and Eric Deggans. He's a media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. He joins us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida. All right, folks, one of the stories we want to talk about today is something that we've been looking at for some time. After a five-year investigation and a two-month-long trial a few days ago, the federal corruption case against former Atlanta Mayor William Campbell came to an end. He was found not guilty on two of the most serious charges, racketeering and bribery, but found guilty on three counts of tax evasions. Here's what he had to say.
There's no doubt that I've been vindicated with regard to any allegations of corruption. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But of course, it's very disappointing that the verdict went against me on the tax charges.
In fact, that was the case. I spoke with reporter Joshua Leves from Atlanta to get a sense of how the city was taking a look at this and whether people in Atlanta were surprised by the verdict.
You know, when it comes to surprise, what you find is pretty much the same breakdown that was there beforehand. The people who thought that he was innocent remained that way all throughout the trial. The people who thought he was guilty were a little bit surprised. But overall, you know, a lot of people were just waiting to hear what the evidence was. And because it's a mixed verdict, I guess it makes sense that you would find that the breakdown of the response would probably have that exact same mix.
Roland Martin, we should note that had he been convicted of all seven counts, the former mayor could have faced up to 50 years in prison. But the prosecution says that he should expect some jail time here.
Well, I would not be surprised if he is sentenced to jail, but also he said he was vindicated. But in conversations with the jurors after the decision, there was some confusion over one particular date. And when prosecutors learned that date of when he received about $25,000, I mean, he was that close to being convicted. And so it was not full of vindication on Bill Campbell's part. Again, had that jury not gotten confused about one date, he would have been convicted on all of those charges, and this would be a different story.
Mary Frances Berry, here again is the story. We've seen it with Marion Barry. We've seen the feds go after Coleman Young and many other African-American mayors. Many people see in our community this as a witch hunt. Others suggest that it is just the business of being a mayor and you need to keep your books and all other business tidy. How do you see it?
Well, as long as people are concerned about whether the justice system works properly, there will be concern about whether there is fairness when some black official is charged with something. So I think if you were to do some kind of survey, you would find the same people who think the justice system doesn't work would end up thinking every time that it has something to do with a witch hunt. I think in this case, I'm still curious about where he got the money to go on all these trips. As far as I could understand, they didn't find that he didn't go on all these trips and spend all this money and do this. They just said he didn't do it based on corruption that could be proved and that the income was underreported on his tax returns. I'm still trying to figure out where the income came from. I think he's lucky to have been acquitted on the corruption charge, and I'll take any acquittal is better than none.
Eric Deggans, we should note that this along with what we see in Congress of late, and quite frankly over the course of the last couple of decades in particular, shows the real issue and problem of wooing politicians, if you will.
Well, you know, you brought up the term witch hunt earlier. I wouldn't put Marion Barry's name and witch hunt in the same sentence because he did do crack and he was guilty of a lot of things he was accused of.
No question
of.
About that. But so, that being so, said, even before that, let me say this though, Eric. In that sense, even before that, feds were looking very closely into Marion Barry. He helped it along without question.
They were looking closely at Marion Barry because he was guilty. I mean,
difference. Don't you remember he said the B and the other letters H. Set
yeah,
me up.
Set
That's
me
what
up.
Happened
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also,
right.
I think
All
you
right.
had something critical that you had to bring up. Mary Barry just pleaded guilty to tax fraud or not filing his taxes, and also got probation as well. But I will say this about this whole issue. It is a very sensitive issue when it comes to black mayors in terms of who say that they are being targeted. But I also look at in the past couple of years, you look at the governor of Connecticut, you look at a number of other mayors who have been thrown in prison as well. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing prosecutors across the country holding elected officials accountable for their actions. The congressman in California, Cunningham, just sentenced to prison. And so you have a number of examples of white and black politicians who have been targeted by prosecutors because of fraud, because of corruption.
Exactly. Right. And if I could just break in, the two things I'll say, the first thing I'll say is that racketeering charges and bribery charges are exceedingly difficult to prove. And we often see that people who are accused of these crimes wind up being convicted of tax evasion because they can't prove where they didn't claim the money on their tax returns, but they can't necessarily prove where they got it from or that they got it illicitly. The other thing I would say is what you could sense in my earlier comment, I'm just concerned about black folks apologizing for people who get into office and commit crimes. We should be as tough on these people as anybody because we don't have that many black elected officials, and we can't afford to have people in office who are going to abuse their positions.
That runs to that old adage, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean you're not looking at me. So, we can take that in as well. Another thorny situation when it comes to right and wrong and race in New York City, and it has made national news as well. There was a murder of a graduate student who was sexually assaulted, strangled, and dumped in a marshland in Brooklyn about 2 weeks ago. Now police in New York have announced that Daryl Littlejohn, a 41-year-old, seven-time convicted felon for armed robbery, assault, drug dealing, weapon possession, etc., is their prime suspect here. They believe that they're going to be able to lock him up for this murder. There's DNA evidence. One of the interesting notes here, though, is even before the official announcement, he was a suspect. And he was covered by the news when the leak came out that this man, in fact, was the primary suspect. His picture was plastered all over the news media even before the official announcement came down. And the question rises, even though it looks as though that this gentleman, Roland Martin, is going to be found guilty, it is a question of whether or not it is fair to plaster, and many people suggest, again, because it was an African-American, his picture all over the media. We also went to AOL yesterday and were, quite frankly, disturbed by much of the conversation that was going on the news talk board. I'll read just a couple of things that hit the AOL talk board yesterday. Just another black thug doing his thing. I hope like hell a black jury doesn't try the bastard. Another writer goes on to say, nothing like a good ghetto jury in a murder trial. Johnny Cockroach isn't around anymore, but the O.J. Simpson jury is still out west. Send them east fast. These are the kind of underlying racist conversations that go on a day-to-day basis. It is hard, Roland, to discern what is fair, as Eric just said, in someone who is convicted and probably guilty versus just putting a black face on a crime.
Well, first and foremost, I'm not surprised by those kinds of messages. I mean, Shawnee Davis got similar messages, and he was trying to win a gold medal for the United States in the Olympics. So that does not shock me at all. I do think it is a matter of fairness when you began to suggest that so-and-so is the lead suspect, and as you said, you do plaster their photo. I think that is incorrect. I believe that those who are innocent have the same rights as those who, like in the case of rape victims. I think when you begin to put that out there, I mean, remember the Olympic Park bomber, Richard Jewell, the exact same thing happened. He ended up successfully suing a number of media organizations for doing that. And so it is a matter of fairness. It's about news judgment. And what happens is a news director will say or editor will say, well, I don't want to do it, but if my competition does it, they're going to sell more papers and get more eyeballs, so I have to do it as well. I think, frankly, that's a cop-out.
Eric Deggans, it makes it a lot harder, though, here when you have this case and you argue this case, but the poster child is someone that is probably, by virtue of DNA, going to be found guilty.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to wait until a trial. Who knows what's going to come out? But the one thing I'll say is that this is a typical law enforcement tactic. We've had, unfortunately, a number of cases in Florida where, you know, children have been killed, sexually assaulted, things like that. They have a leading suspect. They put that name out there because they, frankly, they want to find out any more information. They want people who may have grudges against this guy or may know this guy or may know his whereabouts. They want him to come out of the woodwork so they can build a stronger case against him. I think that's probably one reason why they haven't filed an indictment yet. He's already in prison and they have time. The other thing I'll say is that I am concerned about the way in which this has been plastered all over the media, and particularly in cable news yesterday was filled with this story, and you can't escape the racial dynamic. You see the picture of this guy, and you see the picture of this victim. And while I'm not, again, not
Eric,
apologizing
go ahead and say
for
it,
this
Eric,
guy,
the picture of this white victim. It's
the
a
picture
white
of this
victim.
White, attractive female victim.
I mean, go ahead and
how
say
many
it.
Times have we seen it? And I think that's one reason why, particularly cable news, particularly the media, is so interested in this story. It doesn't change the fact that this guy has a lot of evidence to get against him, and law enforcement is proceeding the way they always do. But what happens when the media gets a hold of it is what bothers me.
It also doesn't change the fact that if it were a black woman who had been killed, you wouldn't get all this media play. We already know that. It doesn't become a big national story. And also, there are other questions about this. I don't understand why this guy was a bouncer at this place where he was exposed to people in the first place. He had 7 felony convictions for armed robbery, assault, drug dealing, weapons possessions, and other offenses. It was like he was set up to be a guy who might be accused of something. It's a very curious story. But I'm also not surprised about the blogs, the comments on the internet. I'm a little confused that people are still hanging on to O.J. Simpson and his case after all this time. But the good thing about the internet is it does give people an opportunity to express their racism, and then you can sort of keep track of it. And the cable news shows give you an opportunity to express it and to look at it, and you can keep track of it. Otherwise, it would go on being poison hidden away.
Well, it does, in fact, Mary, bring out the ugly raise the ugly head of racism in this country and puts it right in your face when you read another comment that says, unfortunately, a mistake was made over 200 years ago when we brought these ignorant savages over in the slave trade. This walks us right into our next story, which is really interesting, and that's China's attack of the United States on its record on race. The criticism came after the United States State Department released its report on human rights conditions globally. And, of course, it talked about the concern in relationship to China. But China shot back, arguing that racial discrimination remained pervasive and that the American military abuse in prisoners and detention centers is happening widespread abroad. Saying in their report that this fully exposes the hypocrisy and double standard on human rights issues that the United States uses. Mary?
We know that every time this report comes out, the same thing happens. We label China and other countries as the major human rights violators, and then the Chinese are the ones who always come back with the report saying we are. They go behind the scenes to try to soften any response because they don't want any sanctions and they know we have power and they don't want their economy affected. But they're quite right in what they say about the United States. We did engage in torture and everybody knows what has happened and we do have race discrimination. I argued when I was at the Civil Rights Commission that we ought to do a report on the United States every year and release it at the same time that the International Human Rights Report was released so that we would undercut criticisms and we could examine ourselves and say what we were doing wrong in one big report and put it out. There was a lot of support for that in the State Department, but there was a lot of opposition to the whole idea. So in a sense, the Chinese are just taking advantage of our hypocrisy. That's what they're doing.
Roland Martin, there are a lot of people who suggest that whether it be abroad, whether it be here in the United States, we don't need any more of these reports without actions moved after these findings.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that they are a major trade partner, and so you're not going to find that level of action. I just think that, first of all, I am pleased that China said what they said, because I think as Americans, we choose to be ignorant of what really human rights violations are. Racial profiling is a human rights violation. Police brutality is a human rights violation. When you sentence people to prison who did not commit the crime, that is a human rights violation. You know, Malcolm X talked about that, going to the United Nations and bringing the U.S. up on charges. See, we act as if the U.N., or the international community, is somehow a one-way street where we can only put things out, but nothing can come back to us. And so this checks us. And I remember several years ago when the Chinese president, when he came to America to meet with President Bush, and there was this whole controversy, well, how are we going to deal with him? And he confronted President Bush by saying, let's deal with your racism. Let's deal with how you treat African Americans. And so we don't want to categorize that as human rights violations, when in fact it is.
Yeah, I would add to that. You know, when the difference between when Mary was involved with the Clinton administration and now is that then we didn't have Abu Ghraib, then we didn't have Guantanamo Bay, then we didn't have wireless, we didn't have wiretapping, unauthorized wiretapping of American citizens. We didn't have a war in Iraq that has caused such a drain on our economy that China's propping us up. I mean, we can't engage in any meaningful sanctions against China because they're the ones who are buying our bonds and financing our huge deficits. So this is all sort of a dance that doesn't have a lot of meaning, particularly because George Bush has perpetuated so many human rights violations in the United States.
It's regarded.
Well, there's one thing that we all can agree on, and that is hypocrisy runs rampant on all sides.
Absolutely.
Mary Frances Berry, Roland Martin, Eric Deggans, thank you all for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.